Hello, and welcome to another edition of We Own This Town Music, a podcast dedicated to showcasing new and notable music from Nashville and surrounding areas. I'm your host, Michael Eads, and this is volume 131. As always, at the top of the show, I'd like to remind you that this show is part of a network of shows under the We Own This Town umbrella. If you haven't checked out anything else on the network, please head over to weownthistown.net. Click on podcasts in the navigation. There's a bunch of stuff there. A lot of it's really good. A lot of it's mediocre. No, it's not mediocre. All of it's really good. I promise. Just check something out. You can play it right there on the site. And then there's a subscribe link right underneath everything. And you're in. You're done. You're subscribed. You're juicing our numbers. You're making this whole thing a success, and we really appreciate it. So if this intro feels a little rushed or awkward or ridiculous, it's because I have another person in the room today. I have brought in our favorite, Lance Konzett. Konzett?
Konzett, yes.
Yes.
Am I just your favorite Lance Konzett?
You are my favorite Lance Konzett.
Okay, that's fine.
I think
that's
fair. One other Lance.
Yeah.
But not another Lance Konzett.
McDonald from the Proto Men?
I do. Yes. That's the one. That's the one I know.
Yeah.
So, Lance, if you didn't know, if you, the audience, don't know Lance, Lance is a photojournalist.
Mm-hmm.
He takes photos and he writes things.
I do.
So there's that. We had him on a previous episode of the show. It was all about pop music. He brought in the playlist. He exposed us to a bunch of stuff. And so we're going to flip the tables on him today.
Yeah.
And I'm going to play a bunch of music for Lance that he's never heard, knows nothing about, and he's just going to react to it.
It's true. This isn't a podcast bit. This is, I do not know what's going to happen.
No, he really doesn't. This is slightly a tribute to another show that I listen to, not on the We Own This Town Network. It's called The Music Digest. It's on a thing called BTR Today. My friends Brian and Jay host it, and they basically play songs for one another and then get raw reactions out of them. I think in general, Lance and I are going to like all this stuff, I think.
We're pretty agreeable.
We're also like pretty positive, and I generally don't pick things for the show that are bad. So I do think that this is an interesting lineup that we have today. So I'd be, especially the last track.
Wow, really?
Yeah.
Really, really hooking them right from the beginning.
Yeah, I'm setting you up here with this last track. But we'll see. We'll see. Maybe one of these you'll be like, hey, do you know about the controversy around this band?
It's possible,
and
yeah.
And I will not.
So yeah.
I did.
Like, oh, you played that song? Oh, no.
Yeah. I'll stop going on and on about this. We're just going to dive into it. We're going to make it happen. The first song I chose, I'm very confident Lance will know this band, but we'll find out. So here's our first track.
I don't wanna talk about it anymore.
Okay, that was our first song. This is not a guessing game. This is not like, hey, Lance, guess who that was. That's not what we're doing.
Because
here.
I will fail that game. That is 100%.
That was Only, the band Only, with a brand new song called Jerk. And it is from a new single just released. The single's called Cheap Weed. Mm-hmm. And I think technically this is the B-side to that. Mm. But if you look it up on Spotify, there's actually two singles, a Cheap Weed single and a Jerk single. So maybe they're both A-sides. I don't know how you determine it.
That sounded like an A-side to me. I liked that a lot.
Yeah, I liked it a whole lot too. I maybe should have picked the A-side because it's called the Cheap Weed single.
Sure,
but
whatever.
I really like the female vocals in that band.
Yeah, absolutely. I wind up liking the B-side on these local records a lot more than the A-side. Fever Blush, the shoegaze band that is fronted by Space Jenna from Daddy Issues.
Oh, right.
They put out a single.
Either
early last year or right in like December 2017, and it's called Remember Forget.
Yep.
I believe
you are correct.
And the B-side is so good. It is such a good song. Let's get back to talking about Only. In a
sure.
second.
No, this is tangents.
Oh my God.
Tangents are very open.
Fever Blush might be my favorite band that is a going concern. Like
Whoa.
Right now, like a local band. It's like my favorite local band because I just, that band is doing such really interesting, cool stuff. And they only have like three songs though, which is frustrating because I can only listen to those three songs so many times.
It's a good feeling though when a band you love has not messed up yet.
Well, yeah.
Like
but,
everything's good.
Yeah.
So, I mean, three songs is very little, but you know.
But yeah, no, I really liked that Only song.
Yeah, it's got that like shimmery kind of dream pop feel to it, which I like.
Yeah, it's got a nice jangle.
It's got a great jangle. I think that I saw them at like some Tomato Arts Festival like last year. And if I'm not mistaken, if that's who I saw, I really liked it. I mean, they trade off male and female vocals, and I really just want to see them go all in and like do it within the context of a song. Like, there's male songs and there's female songs.
Oh, yeah. They don't like switch back and
they
forth.
They got to switch back
in
and forth.
Song. Yeah.
Based on the recordings, at least, they're not doing that. So,
sure.
You know, there's a real opportunity there.
For
but
sure.
I think this is still kind of new for them. Like the first EP from them called Language, which I really like, came out in 2017. And I think that they have added members since then. So I think that she is new since then. And so they're probably still like working out that balance. But
yeah, that's cool.
Yeah.
When you had asked about, like, in the middle of the song, Michael was like, do you know who this is? Like, I don't know. Is this Michelle Sullivan? Michelle Sullivan is an old friend of mine. We had a blog together way back in the day.
Whoa. On what platform?
It was WordPress.
Nice.
We had a WordPress blog called Dixie Downturn. It was about, you know, free, cheap things to do in Nashville when you're broke and just out of college, like we were. We actually we stole the We Own This Town name a little bit. Our tagline was we rent this town.
Nice.
We did not ask permission. I apologize.
I mean, I didn't name We Own This Town.
No, I know.
So I know. You stole it from Doug Lehman, and that's great.
Well, yeah, he's cool with it.
Yeah, he's very cool with it.
But Michelle, she's a huge Big Star fan and a huge Replacements fan, and is putting out this like 80s college rock record, basically, under her name. It's her first like solo release. She was in a band called Sherbert for a long time.
She's in a bunch of stuff, right?
So she is putting out this record as Michelle Sullivan and the All Night Boys. And the All Night Boys is a backing band who are anonymous, but it's all her. It's all her music. It is all her doing stuff, and it's pretty reminiscent. Like, there's a little like kind of subtle twang in the voice that isn't like a country song. It's not like a country twang. It's just like an ever-present like lilt in the voice that I picked up on.
So from what we've discussed, it sounds like you just put together a hell of a bill. That is a show I would see at the Five Spot.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Michelle Sullivan and the All Night Boys and Only and Fever Blush.
Yeah.
I go to that show.
That's a great show.
Come on.
So
who books the Five Spot now?
Yeah, whoever's
let's go.
Whoever's
Todd
putting together shows and also listening to this podcast, wherever that Venn diagram exists, we just made a hell of a bill for you. I don't think I have any more notes on this song.
Sure.
That song is on Spotify now. I found it on Bandcamp. Been a fan of this band, and I can only assume this is the lead up to an album or an EP.
Yeah, presumably.
I mean,
it's usually how that works.
Right? I mean, you just going to put out two songs?
I mean, I know there are definitely bands that have put out two songs and disappeared.
Yeah, well, all right, fair. Okay, so do we want to just dive right into the next thing? Want to keep going? Let's pound through this.
Number two.
All right, number two. This is, neither one of us know anything about this.
Okay,
number
cool.
So that was song two.
All right.
Not song two by Blur, but our second song. That was by the band Clean Machine.
Okay.
The song is called Killer, and the album is Tennessee Beach.
Okay.
This album was released in 2017.
Okay.
It has all kinds of crazy press around it, like Pace Magazine wrote about it. Pat Sanson from Wilco says, Clean Machine possesses the qualities that my favorite rock and roll has. Smart, soulful, and a little bit dangerous.
Ooh.
Huffington Post wrote about it. No Country for New Nashville wrote about it a couple times. So it's gotten some publicity, but never mentioned it on We Own This Town. Like, I've literally never encountered it until now.
I have never heard of this band before.
Me neither. This is crazy, right? This is a Tennessee band. Mm-hmm. They used to be called, every bit of press says Eagle Johnson and Clean Machine.
Okay.
But now it's just Clean Machine.
Like
clean.
That's a good change. I feel like whenever I see first name, last name, and band, it just falls out of my brain.
Oh, for sure.
Especially when I was an intern at the scene almost 10 years ago.
Whoa.
Yeah, I'm coming up on my 10-year anniversary. It'll be in whenever the fall semester starts.
All right.
August, I guess. So my job as intern was to enter the listings. And so I was entering concert listings for 3rd and Lindsley and 12th and Porter and every venue, along with like the art museum and
right. Like
basically everything that comes into that calendar. And I would see so many like James Johnson and the Whatevers. And it's just like, it's just like that band, that kind of like naming convention that you see at a lot of like weird writers' rounds and stuff.
Yeah.
I think a Clean Machine, great name.
It's a great name.
Eagle Johnson and the Clean Machine.
Yeah, I mean, if the guy's real name is Eagle Johnson,
well, I mean, great. If your real name is Eagle Johnson, like, ride that ride.
Yeah,
man,
yeah.
That's a badass name.
Just be Eagle Johnson, for sure. But
where are they from? I listened to that, and I was like, this sounds like something that was recorded in Murfreesboro.
You know, I don't have that information, so...
It just has that kind of, like, spacey, a little stony... Like, yeah. Recorded at the bottom of a well, possibly in a dorm, like,
kind of vibe to it. I think what I read was that it was recorded at a bomb shelter, maybe, if I'm remembering correctly.
That makes sense.
I got kind of a Dr. Dog vibe.
Oh, sure, yeah.
My notes literally say, has a Dr. Doggy vibe. And then I realized Dr. Doggy would be another, like, a kid's band that I would love to listen to. It had, like, a... If I smoked a lot of weed, I would probably enjoy listening to that song a lot. Like,
yeah.
It kind of stays right in the middle the whole time.
Right, yeah. You really dial it in and just like hit that. I like a long outro.
Yeah.
I enjoy a long outro.
That was a great long outro, for sure. All right. I mean, I don't think I have anything else on Clean Machine. I think I'm a little amazed that this album's been out since 2017. It was written up by Paste and Huffington Post and was on this Wilco playlist. And I've just never heard of them.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And you know, that's probably something that happens a lot in Nashville. It is a small city, but there are so many bands. There are arguably too many bands. It's just a lot. It's a lot of music that's coming out of the city. And I dug that. I'm not as much into like, you know, kind of low key psychedelic music, but you know, I dug that. I thought it was interesting. If I were in Wilco, I'd probably like that.
Yeah, definitely. There's another song on the record called Pushpin Jane. That's the one that is actually on the Wilco playlist.
Mm-hmm.
It's good, but I liked this killer song more. Yeah.
You know what I liked about that song? I liked the alliteration of he's the coolest kid. They called him Killer.
That's true.
Sounds very nice.
Was
in the
it
ear.
Coolest kid or was it the coolest cat?
It might have been the coolest cat.
Either way.
Either way, it has a really nice assonance.
Yeah, and you what word did
assonance?
You
assonance?
Man. The other day I heard somebody use the word diegetic music.
Oh wow.
Blank stares on my face, similar to what I just gave you.
Yeah.
I've never encountered that word, but I think I got it.
Yeah.
I think I got it. So thank you. I mean, if nothing else, we've given a vocabulary lesson.
And you're welcome. You're welcome, podcast listeners. You get some new songs and a lesson about the word assonance.
Yeah, I mean, that's why people come to this show, is to learn new words.
Yeah.
All right.
This is Grammar Girl, right?
Wait, is that a show?
Mm-hmm.
I have so much to learn. All right, we're going to jump into our third song. And this one, I have confirmation you know.
Okay.
Now for years I think I need a taste. I've been waiting for your man to hop right out the frame. And my old thing turned into a cold thing. So I froze away another day and changed the whole thing. Ooh, baby, you can ask about my pinky ring. I can feel your energy, I can tell you're into me. Hanging off the balcony, gold lights, gold link, I can see the alchemy. Girl, you look like lavender. It's up to you if we do or die. Feelings always new and it's been a while. Loosen up your spine, let's be fools tonight. And then we hit rewind, it was too divine. I think you need a newer guy, but who am I? You decide, let's just keep on doing it. If it feel right, get inside. You could be my queen tonight, doing anything you like. I think my shot wide open. Ooh, I think I want you again, baby. Ooh, I think I'm caught up again. take it to the bedroom. Where you work it, little lady, it be hard to handle. We could light some candles, clothes dismantle. The way you tease me, baby, make a toddler throw a tantrum. Gotta throw my hands up. Surrender my feeling, keep this pen on this paper. The way it takes make me wanna save it for later. Yeah, we hanging like a beautiful painting. Sound like my favorite playing radio station. Tell me you done with the faking. Your heart's always aching. What is nice for the taking, and it could be what we make it. But first, let's get naked. My lavender baby. No, 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 no. My lavender baby. No, 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 no. Lavender baby, I said, ooh, I think I want you again, baby. Ooh, I think I'm caught up again, baby. Ooh, I think I want you again, lady. Ooh, I think I want you again, my lavender baby.
Yes. Oh, what an outro. That was Dreamer Boy with the song Lavender from the album Love Nostalgia.
Yeah. I actually knew a little bit about this band.
Yeah, I emailed you the other day after I stumbled upon this. It was like, do you know this?
Yeah,
and
yeah.
You did.
Yeah, so I, as a person who often writes for the Nashville scene, I contribute to the year-end music issue, which is usually out in October, November. And because I can't catch everything.
Sure.
And so I put out a general call in the Nashville Pop Squad group, which is a Facebook group that has a lot of people who are involved in, enjoy, et cetera, local pop music.
Right.
I was like, what's a record that you loved from a local artist that came out this year? And I specified this year. Also, it has to have more than 9 songs. those are the qualifications.
Yeah.
And Chris Job, who is a kind of soul pop singer, was like, oh, Dreamer Boy, 100%. Like, these guys put out this incredible record and nobody knows about it.
Yeah.
And I gave it a listen and was like, this is really, really cool. Unfortunately, because I was the only one who like knew about this from all the other Nashville scene writers, it had no chance whatsoever of like getting on to like that top 10.
A democracy,
I know. But it's really cool. It's really interesting. It's two guys who are Belmont graduates.
Okay.
One is a producer and one is the singer. And they made this collaborative record. I think it came out in September?
Well, here's the thing. Bandcamp says this came out January 24th of 2019.
Oh, it came out before that.
But you can put whatever date you want in Bandcamp.
Yeah, it's true. So, no, it came out because they posted about it. It came out late last year. They're currently on tour, doing sold-out shows. Like, the show that they played in Nashville was sold out, and I think it was, Mercy Lounge.
This is yet another band where I'm like, never heard of this.
Yeah, yeah.
Really wild. This record is wild.
Yeah, it's all over the place. Like, it has like really cool like soul, like, you know, R&B kind of style pop with, and then it has like some weird like indie pop stuff, and it has some like straightforward down the middle of the road pop stuff.
Yeah,
like, it's pretty cool and pretty interesting and definitely all over the place, but in a way that is, you can tell that they know what they're doing.
Right. Yeah.
Like,
I was trying to take notes when I was previewing this and was like, oh, I'll mention a couple other songs that I like. And I was like, oh, Dreamer, this song's bonkers. Passport, this song has live drums. You don't hear that in this context.
Mm-hmm.
Falling for the Wrong One is really good. There's a song called Solstice that's really badass. Like, I just kept listing basically every track from the album, mm-hmm. and was like, oh, I can just pick any of them, and it'll be something interesting. So
yeah,
that song Lavender is definitely the more like R&B sexy vibe of the record, but it kind of like goes all over. It's really, I totally agree with you. It's like, it's a really varietal record in a good way.
Yeah, and this band's fairly popular. Like, if you go on Spotify, and look at their top songs, one of them has been streamed over 800,000 times.
Really?
Yeah.
Dreamer Boy.
Dreamer Boy, man. Like, they must have landed on some playlist or something. Yeah. But like, yeah. I can't argue with that. Like, those are good songs and they're really interesting.
Yeah. 827,000 streams for the song Falling for the Wrong One. So maybe I should have picked that one. But
it kind of I talked about Bio a little bit in the last time I was on the show, and they're same way. Like, they had like 8 songs and were blowing up and playing Forecastle and Bonnaroo and whatnot.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, those bands, like Bio and Dreamer Boy, seem very similar to me. They're both duos. They're both basically just trying new things and figuring it out and like playing in like wildly different subgenres within pop music. Mm-hmm. And I dig that.
So do you think they're getting 800,000 plays and getting invites to festivals because they're pop bands, or?
Well, in the case of like of Bio, it's because they were in that band Vinyl Thief.
Oh, yeah.
And Vinyl Thief had some heat, and they were able to like parlay that heat somewhat. And they had some connections and good management and all that stuff.
Right.
Like, at the heart of all of it, it's just like having good management, having good publicity.
Right.
And having a really good, like, having really good connections. I don't know if Dreamer Boy has those same connections, but clearly, like, they're doing something right.
Yeah, they're definitely doing something right. I just kind of thought, like, the pop world is so attuned to singles and, like, very much, like, they're not as focused on albums.
No, yeah, and, you know, it's also one of the three most popular forms of music right now.
Right.
Like, you know, pop, hip-hop, and country are pretty much on the podium there. And so, yeah, I'm sure there are a lot of people like looking out for what's the next interesting pop artist that I can sign or push forward, or, you know, get like commercial background music sync deals or whatever.
Yeah, yeah, or Spotify curators are like, I'm more willing to put this somewhere than I am a rock song, because rock is maybe number 4 in that list.
Oh,
maybe not.
And if it's number 4, it's a distant number 4. I mean, I'm sorry, I love rock music, but like, rock music hasn't been culturally significant, I guess, in a long time. I'm sure Greta Van Fleet would beg to differ. But
did you see that SNL performance?
No, because, so here's the thing. I try not to listen to things that I know that I'm not going to like.
That is a good way to live your life.
And I've heard some Greta Van Fleet songs, and it's like, this is fine, but I'm bored. I'm not one of these rock critics who's like, oh, Greta Van Fleet is the worst thing I've ever heard. It's like, they're fine.
Right.
They're fine. It's middle of the road. It's fine.
Right.
I'm not going to spend 15 minutes watching them on SNL knowing it's like, this is probably not going to be what I want to spend that 15 minutes doing.
Yeah, it was very awkward. I agree with your mindset. I think the Pitchfork review, if no one's read the Greta Van Fleet Pitchfork review, it's like super scathing. It's like on the level of the Travis Morrison 0.0
review
that they gave years ago. It's like really incendiary. But that's just like incendiary. It's like incendiary journalism. That's just like clickbait, basically.
It was, and it's funny. So they published that, and I actually sent a pitch to Pitchfork that they were like, no thanks, which is fine. But it was I was trying to draw out the point of like, this is a band that people like but music critics hate. What's the deal with that? There's something interesting there that it is music critics really want you to know that they hate this band, but the general public is like, I like this. This is fine.
Totally.
And you see that time and time again with these other kind of like middle of the road hard rock bands like Nickelback.
Right.
Nickelback
is huge.
Nickelback is a whatever band that was continued to be propelled because everybody wanted to talk about how much they hated Nickelback.
Right.
You know.
But Nickelback is probably still touring.
Oh, I'm sure they are. I'm sure Chad Kroeger is still married to Avril Lavigne.
Man, hey, and good on him.
Canadian power couple.
Yeah,
of artists that rock critics are like, this sucks, how dare they? And the general public is like, I like this, okay.
Yeah, I mean, I think as I've gotten older, like, I don't feel as compelled to hate on things. Like, it's so subjective. Like, it's so important to you when you're a kid.
Oh, yeah. It and defines you. It's your personality.
I will say I did start this conversation by hating on Greta Van Fleet and doing the exact opposite of what I'm saying. So I take ownership of that. I thought it was a very awkward performance.
Don't get me wrong. Like, Greta Van Fleet is a band that I have zero interest in listening to. but I also don't really like Led Zeppelin. And I don't really like that era of music that people continue to hold up as being like, this is the greatest period of rock music ever to, you know, ever to grace human society.
Right.
I don't think that's true.
I listened to a ton of Led Zeppelin when I was 12, 13.
Sure.
And it was formative. But the more I've learned about Led Zeppelin on like a personal level, like how they were as people, I cannot listen to that.
Like, oh, sure. And how a lot of their songs are kind of like ripped from... entirely ripped.
Yeah.
I was being generous, but unnecessarily. They're millionaires. They don't need my generosity.
No,
those like songs that everyone has heard have been completely jacked from
old blues
artists.
Totally.
And yeah, and that feels a little untenable to support.
Yeah.
Especially, and it feels even more untenable to support, like, the reflection of that reflection.
Whoa.
Oh, I know. I'm a professional music journalist over here, ladies and gentlemen.
So what we've learned here is Dreamer Boy put out a record, and it's really interesting, and it's kind of in that pop world, and everyone should go listen to it.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. It's really cool.
No one should ever listen to Led Zeppelin again.
Yeah, down with Robert Plant.
Yeah, I mean, if you're 13, there's a lot of better bands for you to listen to at this point.
Sure.
Also, if you're 13, the bands that are the age of Led Zeppelin when we were 13 are bands that were popular in like the 90s.
Yeah. So it's like Foo Fighters.
Yeah, Foo Fighters and Weezer. Go with that.
Yeah.
Early Weezer. Another hilarious music journalist contentious subject. I won't get into that.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Moving on.
That was a phenomenal tangent. Phenomenal tangent. So let's go into the next song. I'm just going to play it, and you're going to hear it.
Cool.
Oh,
All right, I had to let that little outro run for a little bit there. So that was the band Full Mood with the song Rodeo from a self-titled EP from Full Mood. So if you don't know anything about this band, that makes total sense because this was released on February 2nd, 2019. Okay. Pretty fresh.
Okay, I feel better about myself now.
Yeah. Well, I reached out to Olivia and Catherine from Dark Matter and was like, hey, I'm putting together this playlist and it's a lot of dudes. Like, I need some bit of diversity.
For sure.
Not just in terms of music, but in terms of representation. And yeah. They sent this back and said, Full Mood just released this record. You should check it out. So I checked it out and I'm pretty into it. It's definitely like a slow build. Mm-hmm. And I feel like if I was going to compare it or do that lazy journalist thing where you cite more established artists, there's like a Courtney Tidwell kind of thing.
See, I was thinking Courtney Tidwell also.
Yeah.
I caught that as well. Like, you know, a little more slowed down. Not as like country goth as Courtney pulled her music. Yeah, I definitely caught that Courtney Tidwell vibe.
Yeah, I imagine this is one of those things where you probably need to be in like a dark room.
Oh, for sure.
Blaring this. And I bet the live performance is just like, if it's loud enough, is just like spot on.
Oh, yeah, for sure. I've seen, you know, a handful of Courtney Tidwell shows in different venues. And the darker the better, and same with this band,
right?
Absolutely. And I caught a little bit of like Kate Bushiness in there, like
totally,
like this kind of like ethereal, like there's some like real nice reverb in there,
right?
Quality to it that it has this depth of sound that it's really interesting. But also the drums are super clean, which has, you know, nice contrast.
Yeah, I mean I think it's a headphone record. That's my presumption here. I've listen through the entire EP. It's all got that same sort of vibe to it and sort of tempo to it. There's no like banger. I would have picked this the Four on the Floor banger if they had that.
Sure.
But I think that's okay. Like I want this podcast to sort of not be afraid to play these like slower
absolutely
longer drawn out jams.
Yeah, no, I dug that. Speaking of Courtney Tidwell, I miss when Courtney Tidwell put out music.
Yeah, you know, she did a thing at the Springwater recently that was like an improvisational kind of thing.
Really?
And it was Courtney, and I think some members of Jeff the Brotherhood came, and I think it was like a who's who of Nashville came and just like made improvisational music for a while.
That's cool.
I did not go out to that, so I have no idea how it was. But I think there's some SoundCloud recordings of her doing that in her home studio with her husband, and it's really interesting.
Yeah, I'm sure most listeners to this podcast know who Courtney Tidwell is, but if you don't, Courtney Tidwell is a musician. She termed her music country gothic. It was very kind of like slow and dirgy, but with some like pedal steel in it still, like it would like build and build and build and have these like big echoing grand,
right,
like noisy songs.
Yeah.
And her voice is incredible. Her sons were in the band Jaws with two W's.
What? Those are her kids?
Yeah. Hunter and Eli, the singer and the drummer, are her kids.
I had no idea.
It's funny. I saw them play at this house show, this house that no longer exists. It was called Exponent Manor. It was in West Nashville. And they did their like EP release show or single release show or something like that.
Yeah.
In the living room of this house. And their dad, Todd Tidwell, was like manning the board. Like there was this like dumb, grimy little punk show with all of these like little punk kids like from Nashville School of the Arts, like crowd surfing and like causing mayhem, and Todd's in the back just like twisting knobs and stuff. It was delightful.
Yeah, that's
but
awesome.
Yeah, but Courtney Tidwell, she also put out a record with Kurt Wagner from Lamb Chop called Court, which harkens back to
K-O-R-T. Yeah.
Which I believe harkens back to music that her mother made as a country artist.
Oh, interesting.
So, if you haven't listened to Courtney Tidwell, her music is a little hard to find. I don't think she's on Spotify. She might have some stuff on Spotify, but well worth seeking out. If you like Kate Bush and you like, you know, kind of shoegazy to an extent, but like big, boisterous music with an incredible voice.
Yeah, she definitely is on Bandcamp with the album Boys.
Oh, Boys is such a great record.
There's other Courtney Tidwell records, but this is literally the only one that's on her Bandcamp. And she's also on Wikipedia. So if you just want to read about her on Wikipedia, that's totally fine.
If you want to fact check all that stuff I just said, because it's rolling straight off the dome over here.
Yeah. You know, this actually, Courtney Tidwell is an excellent comparison there. But I think in my mind, I've struggled to remember her name until this moment. But Brooke Wagner.
Yeah.
Or Wagner.
Brooke
two
Wagner.
G's.
Yeah, yeah.
She put out an album called Sweven, S-W-E-V-E-N, which I really, really loved. And I think this sort of feels not... There's a Venn diagram with Full Mood and Brooke.
That's interesting.
If we're putting together a bill for the five spot.
Sure, yeah, five spot. Tune back in. We got you one show. Here's another.
Yeah, I don't want to go full down the path of like just mentioning other artists to listen to. I think everyone should go listen to this Full Mood EP. You should book Full Mood for your shows. It's definitely going to be an interesting live performance. I'm happy to have stumbled upon it. I thank Dark Matter for bringing it our way.
Yeah, that was really cool. It's another band I've never heard of.
Yeah, well, now it's on your radar.
Yeah, it is.
Subscribe on Bandcamp or Spotify or whatever, however people subscribe to bands.
Yes.
I have another artist that you've never heard of. Maybe. Mm. I'm pretty sure you haven't heard of him. I'd never heard of him. I don't know why I think what I know is what you know, because that's not true. But this one does, give it a minute. Give it a minute. Takes a second to get there, but it goes somewhere nice. Here we go.
I can see you're free to be the way you are.
Okay, that was Ethan Ballinger with the song Monster from the EP Misery Hill. It's still playing. There's a full 30-second outro. I completely respect that. I don't know anything about Ethan Ballinger. The bio on Bandcamp says Nashville-based noisemaker.
Sounds about right.
Sounds about right. This album releases February 15th, 2019. So this is a future release. You can go on Bandcamp, buy the whole thing. I don't know why people do that, or if it was a mistake, or if I just lucked out. But the cover art for this is really interesting. Very monochromatic, sort of featuring a Mary, a statue Mary, with like corpse paint on her face, but done very tastefully. So that's sort of what drew me in. And then I was just kind of browsing through this and was like, this feels like a song that I would put on a Halloween playlist. And I love just how it's kind of like a grizzly bear song in the first like quarter. And then the last three quarters are just like this sort of meandering, gothic kind of layered vocal thing. Like I was very into this.
Yeah, for sure. I wasn't so sure about that first quarter, because that first quarter kind of reminded me of that kind of revival of sort of polka-esque like rock bands. Like
polka?
Yeah, like that kind of rhythm that you... this is a band that nobody knows, but it's like a band from Norway called Kaiser's Orchestra.
Oh my God, like, I love that you went there.
That and like, not quite Gogol Bordello, but like in that sort of like, you know, that sort of like kind of gypsy-ish vibe.
Yeah, yeah.
But then it went to a place that it reminded me of bands I've seen like play at Fort Houston in the middle of the day.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
For whatever reason, like Peter Stringer High comes to mind.
Oh, yeah. It's a good record, that new Pan.
Yeah, yeah. So those kind of like solo artists who are doing really interesting things with looping and noise and density of sound.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was really interesting.
I was a big fan. I would love to see this in a dark room. The band doesn't even have to be visible. I would just like this playing all around me with like a projection of five different Halloween movies happening at the same time while they orchestrate it, and we can just see if it syncs up ever.
It also kind of reminded me, at least sonically, of Ranch Ghost.
Okay, interesting.
Just because of that same kind of like...
I haven't gone deep enough into Ranch Ghost to
There's not a lot of depth to go with Ranch Ghost. They didn't put out a whole lot of music. I don't know if they're still around.
No idea.
I haven't seen them, you know, on bills or anything lately. And honestly, I spent like the last minute of that song trying to remember Ranch Ghost. I could just like hear the song in my head, but I could not tell like... It finally came to me. But yeah, like at least sonically in that kind of like lo-fi fuzzy way.
Yeah. I mean, the benefit of being in a band named Ranch Ghost, when you ghost, you've just made good on a promise.
It's true. So. It's true.
All right, Ethan Ballinger. I looked at your website, ethanballinger.com. It's all about the previous record you released. There's zero information about Misery Hill.
I mean, in fairness, this record has not come out yet.
That's true. That's true. I will check back on February 15th to see if your website has been updated so I can learn more about you. But you know what?
You have 8 days, Ethan.
Yeah. But you know, this guy has several other releases going back as far as 2008. So... pretty cool. I mean, if you're into this, it's possible that the other records have a similar vibe, or they might be crazy different.
Sure.
And there's only one way to find out.
Yeah. You can never tell with Bandcamp albums that are really the driving force of one single person. Like Dreamwave is a good example. Dreamwave is Kelton Young, who I mentioned Jaws a little bit earlier. Yeah. He's pals with all those kids. Jacob, who played and Jaws was/is in Dreamwave, but like his records on Bandcamp, and he has several, are all very, very, very different. Like some are just these like very like lo-fi intimate guitar music, and others like he did a collaboration with a rapper.
Huh.
They're super interesting records. So yeah, hearing this, I cannot assume that the other records by this guy are exactly this. But based on that, like very interesting music, and like even if those records are like totally off the wall different, even if you made a ska record, like I'd listen to that ska record.
I have not listened to any of the other music, so this is total guess on my part, but the 2015 record is called Tennessee Spring, and it features like a piano in the middle of the woods with like a bunch of vines and stuff growing all over it. that's going to have a totally different tone, a totally different vibe than a record with a statue of Mother Mary with corpse paint. That's
presumably.
I don't know. It's a guess. And all of you listeners out there, you're just going to have to check it out. And the link to Ethan's music is on the episode detail page. So go to weownthistown.net and click on this episode, and you can click through to hear more music from all of these artists. Which brings us to the final song
episode. All right.
I promised you at the top something interesting.
Yeah, you guys have all been sitting pins and needles waiting for this final song because Michael teased it so well.
I'm sorry. I think I'm gonna deliver. Here we go.
All right.
All right, so that was the final song of the show. I promised you a treat. Now, before you respond at all, hold your emotional response to this, and let me give everyone, yourself included, some background here. This is going to change everything about how you feel about what you just heard.
I mean, I liked it, so.
The name of that song is Puberty Farts.
Cool.
By the band Inventor Puppy.
Cool.
From the album Peach Fuzz. Let me read you the about. It's a couple sentences. It's well worth it. With songs reminiscent of video game soundtracks and the beloved anime music videos, Peach Fuzz is an album that will forever capture this season in the tween life of a 12-year-old boy with an iPad and some wicked creativity. These instrumental electronic tracks are perfect as a backdrop to all of life's usual activities, like trying deodorant for the first time, learning how to use shaving cream and a razor, and locking yourself in your room with your dog, because parents. I mean,
okay.
That's incredible. Like, I thought the music was entertaining. I mean, a song called Puberty Farts. I'm 40 years old and I still get a kick out of that. It's iPad music for a background, but I'm not hating on it. I was into it. It was video gamey.
I dug that. So there have been a lot of artists in Nashville who have made that kind of music in the past, like Sugar Skulls.
Oh yeah,
Is like a more
on a Game Boy.
On a Game Boy, like a more sophisticated version of that, perhaps.
Yeah.
A more artsy version, I should say.
This guy's 12.
This guy's 12. That was great. Yeah. Makeup and Vanity Set, obviously, not doing things on an iPad. Like,
no, but Makeup and Vanity Set's like first or second record was an 8-bit remix of Proto Man.
Yes. So absolutely. It reminded me, and I had to Google to remember this band's name. I booked an 8 off 8th in 2012.
I think I was there.
You may have been there. It was a good 8 off 8th. I'm looking back on this lineup and it was pretty killer.
Yep.
And the opening band was this guy, Colby DeHart, whose band was called Your Heart, and Y-E-R Heart. ! Was part of that whole like Murfreesboro meth dad posse scene, and he programmed tracks on a Game Boy. He was only lit by a work light, you know, like one of those like big lights you see at work sites that is like on a cord and has this like cage around it, and he was like swinging it around. there was like a balloon like caterpillar that like burst open, and like
it was
the wildest 8 off 8th first band I have ever seen in my entire life.
First band
And like the others were like Hanzel, band that is sadly no longer.
I remember Hanzel.
Jeremy Morris et al. Doing real funky Prince loving electronic music.
At least Jeremy's still around.
Yeah, I think all those people are still around. I'm sure they're playing in other bands.
Right.
And like Quiet Entertainer, and Bohemian Hype Cult, this crazy rap crew that put out one EP and disappeared. But yeah, that reminded me of Your Heart, who also, you know, played songs on a Game Boy.
Right.
And it's fun. Like I'm a big old nerd. Like I play video games. I have been fascinated by that whole chiptune thing.
Video games are not for nerds anymore. Crossed over into mainstream.
Oh, sure. Yes. But like the enjoyment of like 8-bit video game music, still totally for nerds.
Oh, absolutely.
Yes.
100%.
Yes.
I think Proto Man and Makeup and Vanity Set did a tour recently with a band whose name I'm forgetting.
Oh yeah, Bit Brigade.
Bit Brigade.
I saw them on that tour in Seattle.
Oh, wow. So that Bit Brigade actually plays a video game.
Yes,
live.
There's a guy playing Legend of Zelda, like speedrunning Legend of Zelda or Mega Man 2, I think.
Right.
While the band plays the music.
That's amazing.
And it's kind of incredible to behold and very strange. It is a very weird thing for you to do, but they're like very talented musicians and the songs sound great.
Yeah.
But there's also just a guy on stage playing a video game. That's his job every night for the entire tour. And which is good because he has to beat this video game in like 45 minutes.
Whoa, he does it in 45?
Basically, yeah.
That's pretty amazing.
Yeah, actually. Yeah. That was a very strange thing to behold. Like also just seeing a band that you've seen a 100 times in a different context with different people, with people you've never met before and never will see again.
Right.
Seeing local bands outside of local venues is always really interesting.
Yeah, for sure.
And in this case, it's like, you know, they're playing in Seattle for these people who they'll have one chance to see the Proto Men in like 2 years.
Right.
And
they lose their minds.
And like, you know, Proto Man fans are very passionate.
Yes.
Like they really latch on to that band, which is amazing.
Oh, for sure.
But like seeing them out of the context of Nashville, where we're all like, oh yeah, I drink beers with that guy all the time.
Right.
Like, or like, oh yeah, our kids play together or whatever.
Right.
Like, you know, they seem very like, you know, mundane in Seattle and in these other places. They are rock stars.
Yeah.
They are like larger than life rock stars.
I saw them in New York at a show probably very similar to what you saw in Seattle. Mm-hmm. And like the crowd was like, I mean, I've seen them in Nashville and the crowd's great.
Yeah.
Very good crowds.
Yeah.
Next level.
Yeah.
Like just like crazy, crazy fandom. It's great.
Yeah. Yeah. People dress up. It's wild.
Yeah. Everyone should go see Proto Men not in Nashville.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
Stop buying tickets to Proto Men shows in Nashville.
I mean, I think, you know, the Proto Men are a band that get like kind of a tough rap because they are a band that's based around a like the concept of a video game, and it is a band that was created for a class at MTSU that just has continued to persist.
Yeah.
And but their showmanship and their hold over the crowd, and I mean Wayne's voice, jeez,
yeah, unbelievable.
Oh my god, like. All of that stuff, like if you have misgivings about the Proto Men because they're like a weird video game band, just cast those aside. That they're it's a treat.
Yeah, and it has so particularly after the first record, very little is obvious.
Oh my god, no, it has like, nothing to do. Like it's just a like a shell to put all these Queen inspired arena rock songs into.
Yeah. So, turns out we like Proto Men a lot.
We're two nerds in our...
I don't care. I'm totally comfortable with it.
Yeah.
Love Proto Men. Played plenty of Mega Man in my life. Played tons of Zelda in my life. Will continue to watch speedruns on YouTube in my free time.
Sure, yeah. It's fun to have on in the background when you're doing work.
Really? For me, it is.
Yeah. If I had to take a guess, that's the band I've seen the most.
Whoa.
Yeah. Because I haven't gone to their show since 2007.
I've seen the features the most.
Checks out.
Yeah. So being in Murfreesboro in 1997 and I was grew up in Williamson County. So features were around in 1996. I probably saw them solid for almost 15 years or more, however long they were doing it.
Yeah.
So features are mine.
That's fair.
Yeah. Thank you.
I think the features are not that far behind for me because I've seen them a lot in a lot of very weird venues.
Yeah, those Murfreesboro bands would play a lot.
Yeah,
not the features necessarily, but those Murfreesboro bands were like, yeah, we're playing every other week to the same people, and they all come out.
Well, yeah, let's all pack out the borough.
Yeah, and they did.
Yes.
All right, that's it. We listened to all the things. Inventor Puppy with Puberty Farts. Actually,
good on that 12-year-old kid for like making some like real kick-ass like chiptune.
Real kick-ass. You know, I really appreciate that there's a previous Inventor Puppy album released it like a year ago called Duck Boy, and he was like a solid 12.
is that the prequel to the cartoon Duck Man?
Yeah, Duck Boy.
Duck Boy.
So this kid is destined for greatness. Let me read you a couple more song titles, and we'll stop talking about this. Track one, Puberty Farts. My Game Crashed. Peach Fuzz. Get Out of My Room! Mood Swings. You Smell Weird. And The Hairy Armpit.
Now, are we sure that this is a 12-year-old?
We are not.
Okay. I just want to get that out there in case we're getting trolled.
Absolutely not sure. In fact, I would say better than a 50-50 chance that it's absolutely not a 12-year-old.
Yeah, yeah.
I could go into the reasons why I believe that, but I don't. I choose to embrace ignorance in this scenario.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. I want to believe a mid 12-year-old, almost 13-year-old, made this music.
Yeah.
It's very optimistic. Well,
whether you're 12 or you're 22 or you're 42.
Yeah.
Like, good for you for making that iPad music.
Yeah, for sure. So, all right. Let me play our outro music. This will take us out. Let's make it official. All right, that does it for this edition of We Own This Town. Major thanks to Lance for coming by.
No problem.
Much appreciated. If you think this is the last time Lance is going to come by, you're wrong. I'm going to force him in here, and he's going to do this again.
Listen, I might just show up. I don't know.
Please.
I'll be on Hot Minute on accident.
No, they would love it. I would love it. So come by anytime. I might make you bring another playlist. We'll see.
Happily.
As always, any questions, comments, submissions, suggestions, or general feedback can be directed to @WeOwnThisTown on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook, or over on WeOwnThisTown.net. We love to hear from you. Anytime we get a submission, we definitely listen to it. So that's it. Thank you so much. Thank you, Lance, again.
Mm-hmm.
And goodbye. One of my friends was booking a show at the 5 spot and got a recommendation for a band that had some controversy around it.
Mm.
And he agreed to the show and was like, hey, should I have done this? And I was like, no, you should not have done this.